In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Queen of Prophets, Saint Joseph, Saint Elijah, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate a votive mass in honor of Saint Elijah because it seems appropriate for him to be a special patron saint during this fortnight of freedom that we are called to pray and to reflect on the importance of religious liberty, that even in his day, Saint Elijah was called by God to witness to the truth in an age when those who were called to be the leaders and the rulers of the people were not upholding the common good, but undermining it by introducing, in his day, false worship. And with that false worship came a lot of other evils. And today it's very similar. We have those who are in charge of the common good introducing evils and, in a certain sense, a false worship, including, you know, the worship of our own selves. You know, the moral relativism of our age is that somehow I become my own God and I determine what is right and wrong. And if I think that something which for centuries, thousands of years, has always been considered to be evil is good, well, I, with just a little, you know, pen, I can make it good because I am making myself God, pretty much is what it all boils down to. And so Saint Elijah and that whole story, if you go back to the Old Testament and read about his contest with the false worship, his admonishment of Ahab for his wicked ways, you know, is maybe a model for our day, that we as Christians, we as Catholics are called to witness to the truth, and we should trust that in witnessing to the truth and doing what is right, we will have the protection of divine providence, that God will, even if he has to, you know, work a miracle for us, if it so deems, to support us in times of trial or to assist us in showing forth the splendor of the truth. I think that we have to have that kind of confidence as members of the faith to step out and do our part. God asks us to defend the truth, because defending the truth is defending Christ and defending the church and defending the family, which is the basic element of the church, you know, and basic element of society, is something that God will reward us for doing what is not necessarily, it's not something heroic, it's not above and beyond our duty, it's something that's just basic. We shouldn't be praised for doing what we ought to do. You know, it's something that, as a Christian, we all have to do these things. It's not something, you know, it's not like we're being praised for doing something that is extraordinary. To defend the family, to defend life, those are something that we're obliged to do because those are basic human values. You know, they're, before we even talk about the faith, they're part of the natural law, and that we ought to be, if we're truly good people, want to defend that which is essential for true civil society. We know that in the time of Saint Elijah, God blessed him and sustained him in the time in which he lived, and that as today, we know that we ought to have that same kind of faith that he had in God's providence as well. As I said, that we do our part, and we know that God will bless us and watch over us, even if we have to suffer some inconvenience or whatever. We know that even in the midst of his being pursued by his enemies, that God preserved Saint Elijah, you know, had the ravens feed him, had sheltered him with a woman who had more faith than all the people of Israel, the widow of Zarephath, that God in his providence watched over him. And we have that same promise as well. God will watch over us as well if we do what we ought to do. And the other thing that we ought to keep in mind is, and I know there's a lot of modern scripture scholars and modern theologians who say, oh, you know, this idea that if we do wicked, God's not going to punish us. You know, you don't see things in the elements, and the earth is not going to open up and swallow us if we do wicked things. Well, in the time of Saint Elijah, God cursed them for their wicked ways and didn't allow it to rain. And God does in many times has in the past, and it shouldn't be anything different today, to see that maybe many of these natural disasters or even these unusual weather, you know, why is it that California is now suffering a great heat wave when they've unbridled their lust? You know, maybe God says, well, you want to be hot? I'll give you heat. You know, but if we look at this, you know, God does use the elements. He does use nature to show forth the disorder of man's soul. And when man continues to thumb his nose at God, nature is going to revolt. It's going to react. And God uses those things, natural elements, and the world around us. In many cases, it's kind of proclaims the gospel back to us, saying, get right with God. And it was no different in the time of Elijah. They didn't have rain for 3.5 years. It was a special curse that was put upon them by God through his prophet. And it was a way of trying to bring the people of Israel, and especially the king, though, back to reality, back to realizing that he was not so bold and shouldn't be so bold as to continue to flaunt wickedness before God. And we know that he was punished for his evil deeds. And we can see that we too may, you know, God is not any different today. God will spare us many things. And maybe because, you know, as Father John Harden always said, it's because of the holy sacrifice of the Mass being offered every day that maybe we're spared a lot of God's wrath that we should deserve. But I think we need to realize that God does use things around us to try to bring us to our senses. And we need to ask for the grace and the courage of the prophet Elijah and those people in his day who remained faithful to God, and God preserved them and strengthened them and also helped them to give witness to the truth. And that is something today that you know, we are also obliged to do as part of our commitment, as part of our baptismal consecration. We are to be witnesses to the truth. We hear in the gospel or in the first reading today, you know, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The church always, every year, you know, in the cycle of readings, brings us back to this ancient story of how God was not at all pleased with the behavior of Sodom and Gomorrah. And today you might say God has left us a memorial of that, how much he thought of the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, in that he not only destroyed it, you know, obliterated it from the face of the earth by sending down fire and salt, but you can't find Sodom and Gomorrah on the map today, it's underneath the Dead Sea. And you might say God wanted to make sure that nothing would ever be produced from that land again. It's so salty and so underwater that, and such a salty water that nothing can survive. And it should be a good reminder to us of how much this is an offense to God. And it's still here today, that memorial of what God has done in the past. I think that that should alone be a wake-up call to us today in the 21st century. We're not any more sophisticated than they were in the time of Abraham and Lot and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the same human nature, same fallen human nature, and it has to realize that it needs God's grace and the Ten Commandments to live according to its highest ideals and the highest good that it's made for. Let us pray today through Our Lady to assist us today to live out our faith and to give witness and give testimony, as it is called, to the truth and to goodness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.